You're listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball.
Welcome in to Extra Innings right here on the Sports Objective, presented by Next Level Training Center in Greenville. Appreciate them. And Trent and Gaynell, we appreciate the sponsorship of the show very much. Ladies and gentlemen, the man that has the horse in the Kentucky Derby, and he didn't even know about it, Kyle Barber. How are you, man?
Oh, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Yeah, I didn't know. I had no idea until you told me that there was a Barber Road, apparently named after the road in Kenston, Barber Road. Yep. In the Kentucky Derby. I don't really keep up with the Kentucky Derby, but go Barber Road.
I'm pulling hard. That's who, if I could put my bets on Saturday's race for the Kentucky Derby, Bubba Rosenbaum, what do you think? Are you putting all your money on Barber Road for the Kentucky Derby, man?
Now, like Kyle said, I'll certainly admit that, not really following horse racing. I had not heard of that until you sent that in our group text yesterday. But it was a neat story, and I guess I'll be pulling for Barber Road as well. Why not Eastern North Carolina tie?
Yeah. What are the odds for Barber Road, Dina?
We can look it up. I haven't gone that far.
When Barber Road down the stretch is like coming the pudding pop.
You know we're going to give you all kinds of grief in a good way, Kyle. If Barber Road wins, I'm going to be so mad that I didn't put any money on Barber Road. How about you, Bubba? That would be hilarious.
Put some money on Barber Road. We can hit it big on the horse racing and never have to work again. And yep. Then maybe we can get invited. You know what? If Barber Road wins, we put money on it. Maybe we can get invited to special functions by the Pirate Club and we're major donors and things. And actually get to discuss stuff. Only the elite few that have the right to discuss things amongst the Pirate Club and our administration.
Dave, very quickly, I stepped away for a moment. They were researching the odds, and Kyle, the odds are Barber Road 30 to 1.
30 to 1 odds. Well, how many horses are in a race?
It's probably in that range. Is it 20? I don't even know. I shouldn't even guess. I really don't know. It's probably not even that many. 12, 13.
I'll continue my research.
Okay.
All right.
The Barber Road. We're going to talk baseball, folks. I promise. In just a second.
Nothing but horse racing.
Nothing but, yeah, the horse racing objective. But I just thought that was really cool. How about if Barber Road, we'll take one race at a time, but imagine a Triple Crown Barber Road. That would be cool. You could say that.
Triple Crown. That would be awesome. It wouldn't do me a damn bit of good. It might as well be called, Richmond Road, but I guess it's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's just fun. It's something that we can enjoy on Saturday night at 6 o'clock, I guess, when the next Kentucky Derby. We'll keep our eyes on that. Let's talk about something we're very excited about is East Carolina sweep Cincinnati. Guys, I'm so happy. Obviously, we're very hurt in the midway game with NC State, but the Pirates did a great job at home. It was great to be home, sweet home, and we're home, and we get the sweep, so that helps us out. And Pirates are now, 27-18, 11-4 overall. I'm happy, and we'll keep rolling on, right?
Yeah, it's good to get the sweep of Cincinnati. You're trying to win the regular season here. You lose two at Tulane, and you think you put yourself in a bad spot. Then, UCF, we hold the tiebreaker with them, and then they step up and win the series with Tulane. And so it's kind of put us in a spot here where we're in the driver's seat, after sweeping Cincinnati. To win the conference, it's going to set up, if we take care of business between now and then, potentially a big matchup with Houston at the end of the year. But you know, at one point it looked like an at-large was out of the equation. You know, I think we win the regular season title and we can get to 35 wins. I think we'd stand a pretty good shot at an at-large. What about you, Bubba?
Yeah, under that scenario, rather, I would certainly expect us to get in. If you know, if you're 35-21 going into the conference tournament and regular season champions, with our reputation, I would be very surprised to see us not in the field. And you know, even if we did go down to Clearwater and go 0-2, but you think about it, you know, at this point, 27-18, we have 11 regular season games left. 8 of those at Clark LeClaire, only this weekend series at Memphis, which is
not a world beater.
No, which is obviously a series at the very least you should win, right? And probably sweep if you play well, up to your potential. So hopefully we'll be coming home ready to play Duke in a midweek game with a 30-18, 14-4 mark. But first things first, and take them one game at a time, but you know, that's not certainly not far-fetched at all.
Yeah, no. And obviously the Pirates don't have a game this week in the midweek, so it's kind of nice. Pirate fans, I know that the three of us love to have ball games to look forward to, but I think for the team's sake, it's good to have a break, and then we have a nice series, like we said, at Memphis, that you feel good about, so we could go 3-0 this week. And something I've been looking forward to all season long is having that homestand. And man, like we said, we've done very well against Duke. Then you look at the games remaining as far as the conference games and the Clearwater thing. You know, you never know, guys. There's a lot of baseball to be played. We could win the regular season and the conference tournament. You never know.
I mean, yeah, you definitely could, but it would be you'd rather be in position. That'd be ideal, but you'd want to be in position where you don't have to win the conference title,
right?
Or excuse me, the conference tournament title. But no. you know, it'd be great. You know, hey, if you win 35 regular season conference champions and then go run through the conference tournament, suddenly you're probably a 2 seed. Or I'd say we'd definitely be a 2 seed.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. So, we're disappointed. Obviously, it doesn't look like we were having other people ask us, including our good buddy Matt Semenza. It doesn't look like we're going to host. I mean, anything's possible. I think that's
Dave. We're not going to host. The only way we host is if an Old Dominion situation were to occur somewhere. Now, this would have been a perfect year to have an Old Dominion situation where we're in the position we're in now, where ODU could have hosted in Greenville, because that would have been a better situation than Columbia. Why couldn't ODU be good this year?
Very good point, Kyle. But what we're hoping for now, and another thing, guys, as far as our reputation, not only for baseball, but Bubba and Kyle, we also travel very well. You know, there's going to be a lot of purple and gold that are going to travel to that regional if we do get into regional. And so I feel like right now, like you said, Kyle, I feel like right now, if we take care of business, we're definitely a 3 seed and probably, like you said, a 2 seed if we can get in and win the conference tournament. But I feel like right now, if the season ended right now, do you guys feel confident we would be in a regional?
If the season ended today?
Yeah.
No. I would not feel confident of that.
I think if the season ended today that we'd probably be on the outside looking in, but I think when you see these projections that it's more, you know, projecting how the season will finish and how the Pirates will take care of their business over these next 11 games in the tournament. And to produce that 35-21 mark, obviously that would require 8-3. And then let's say you go to Clearwater and go 2-2, but don't win the tournament. Then you're at 37-1.
Yeah.
And I certainly would anticipate us being in great shape. But let's say you do go to Clearwater and win the tournament. So maybe going 4-0 or 4-1, and all of a sudden you're right there, just shy of 40 wins. You know, 39-22, and who knows?
depending on what happens, you may have a chance to get to a two seed.
I'm going to stick with my prediction of a three seed. That's what I think we're going to be. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope we are a two seed, and I hope we do very well. Obviously, I think we're going to do very well down the stretch. I don't know. The tournament is always tricky, and it seems like guys.
Does it really matter? I mean, honestly, does it really matter if you're a two or a three seed? I don't think it really matters.
Nah. I mean, right now I just want to be in a regional, even if we were.
Let's say we make a regional as a two seed, and then we were to win that regional. I mean, it doesn't guarantee anything, but it certainly looks better on the resume. And I mean, for the chance to host a super regional, should the regional that we're paired with, you know, have a number one seed and it gets upset.
I understand what you're saying. If we're the two seed and we win our regional, and then the three seed wins the opposing regional, then we would get to host. Yep.
And that's probably going to – and, guys, that's probably the only way we would ever host – a super regional right now. I mean, it seems like even when we have our great years, there's always some excuse why.
Yeah. I think our best chance to host a super is probably going to be to host a regional as a one, and then have our opposing regional have an upset and host.
Just like last year when we were all Georgia Tech fans.
Yeah. Exactly. And the year before that was Indiana State came so close to beating Louisville in 19, not in 20, obviously. But in 2019, I'll never forget that. I was so close, but yeah, so far away.
But before we talk more about that Cincinnati series, obviously in the midweek, we really didn't talk about it much. Say what?
So let's don't.
Yeah. But, obviously, the final score, 12-3 on Tuesday, was pretty misleading. I mean, it was pretty competitive game throughout, but a situation where had some opportunities early, got off to a good start, scored one. Would have been nice to get a lot more there early, like NC State was able to do. Pirates just 1 out of 15 with runners in scoring position and left 14 runners on.
Yeah, that sucked. On Cincinnati, we got a sweep. Let's talk about Friday's game, guys.
Yeah, on Friday, much like the game on Tuesday, Cincinnati jumped on Ryder early, and we were able to kind of weather that storm. Ryder pitched well after that. And we're able to take a 5-4 lead there in the middle innings, and then kind of a back and forth game, and we ended up winning 9-7. Garrett Saylor pitched fairly well in relief, and it was really Carter Spivey going four innings, allowing just one run on four hits. That kind of told the tale on the pitching side of things. And you had Cincinnati, they were able to really play very good defense in that one. And meanwhile, the Pirates did play good defense, played error-free baseball, and then also they did not issue free passes, which Cincinnati did.
Yeah, when you play error-free baseball and you don't walk players, you're making the other team beat you. And that's what the Pirates did, and Cincinnati didn't. And for those of you in our viewing audience that aren't listening via just an audio platform right now, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can look at the stagnant picture of Dave and when he had a beard. There's Dave with facial hair, ladies and gentlemen. So if you forgot what that looks like, there it is right there.
But in that game one against the Bearcats, it was pretty much exactly what a lot of people anticipated coming into the weekend. You thought there'd be a lot of offense. There were 16 runs scored, 25 hits combined between the two teams. And the Pirates were able to outscore the Bearcats in game one. But then in the second game of the series, Actually, before we move on to the second game, didn't want to mention Josh Moreland had an excellent game, 3 for 4 on Friday night. And then you also had Zach Agnos and Keem Clunch with 2 hits apiece.
Yeah, no doubt.
Moving on to Saturday, that was a game that was completely different than Friday, much more of a pitcher's duel. Final score was 4-3. Obviously, Pirates victorious, but it was a game in which the Pirates trailed 3-2 there in the late innings, and it was the relief performance of Ben Terwilliger that allowed East Carolina the opportunity to come back and win that ball game.
Yeah, and it's good to see us come from behind and win like that late in the ball game. That's a sign of the team maturing. Obviously, we did it at home. We'd like to see us be able to do something like that on the road. But still to do it at all was a sign of maturity of this baseball team, and hopefully that's what we're seeing over the last several weeks. You know, despite the performance at NC State, hopefully this team is maturing a little bit and starting to play as a more cohesive unit. And coming back like that late is a good sign.
And It was CJ Mayhew getting the start on CJ. He had a no hitter through 4 innings. Then he allowed a couple runs there in the 5th inning. But all in all, an excellent outing for CJ, and it was his longest outing of the year. So maybe he got a little tired there in the 5th inning, or maybe obviously Cincinnati's a very good offensive team, as we've referenced. Tremendous outing for CJ nonetheless. Hopefully we'll get some starts from him like that moving forward. And then I talked about Ben and the excellent performance of Ben Terwilliger. And he was our PGXGloves.com pitcher of the week. Like I said, the Pirates trailed 3-2 when he entered the ball game, and he was able to pick up the win in relief, allowing just that 1 hit and 3 shutout innings, striking out 4 and not issuing a free pass, needing 40 pitches to record those 9 outs. So congratulations to Ben Terwilliger on being named our PGXGloves.com Pitcher of the Week.
And Ben, the check's in the mail.
But
there's no check.
Yeah. But getting back to that game 2, you know, the Pirates, even though they only had 6 hits, Coach Godwin after the game really thought that the guys were having some excellent at bats without as much to show for it as there was on Friday night. Just hit some balls hard, right at Bearcats, but did what we needed to do to manufacture a couple runs there late in that game to go ahead and win the series on Saturday. Yeah, moving on to the series finale, Pirates looking for their first series sweep over the same opponent and a first league sweep at home, obviously. So going into that game.
We didn't sweep UCF, Bubba?
No, I meant first league sweep at home. Okay. If I just said – league sweep, but first league sweep.
You said sweep over the same opponent, and I thought we had
first sweep over the same opponent at home.
Okay.
Because obviously we flipped the keys of Clare Classic, but yeah, Jake Hunter. Jake pitched okay, but he only lasted a couple innings, and as we've seen a lot of times, you know, maybe Coach Godwin liked the matchup that we had by going ahead and making the change a little quicker than some may have thought we should have. But, you know, it worked out well for the Pirates, and we were able to make some things happen offensively. And what a game for Bryson Wohl. Bryson, once again, named to the AAC Weekly Honor Roll. Has an 11-game hit streak now. 7 of those games were multiple hit games during that 11-game hit streak. And you've seen his batting average over the last 3 weeks go from 248 to 303.
Yeah, great week from him.
And Bryson, you know, he talked about it in the post game. You know, he's seen AMAC and other teammates, you know, go yard multiple times in a game. And he talked about being able to do that for the first time in his career. And he did it from each side of the plate with a couple of no-doubters into the left field jungle and then one into the left field jungle and one into the right field jungle on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, a couple of home runs there each side of the field. So Johnny can go both ways. Bub, I think you could have done this by yourself. I'm not adding much to the show tonight. I just feel that, you know, I'm disappointed in myself.
But I got Mark Calloway chiming in on Facebook. He said, nice beard, Dave. And Mark, back to baseball, chimes in, just talking about the tremendous defense that the Pirates play. I think fielding percentage now is .984, which is stellar. That's top five or so nationally. And, you know, when you – play defense the way we do, you know, if we pitch the way we can and have a lot of the times this year, if we're able to keep swinging the bats and producing some runs like we have more so the last half of the season, then you never know. We're certainly good enough to make some good things happen and you know, be playing our best baseball moving into the postseason.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Hey, wouldn't it be something if this was the year we went to Omaha? Okay, I think it would be.
Sorry, I thought I'd unmuted myself there, but no, I've always thought that when we bust through, and much like in 2016 when we were a three seed and went and won at the defending national champion UVA, and then nearly won that Texas Tech Super Regional. Like I thought it might be a scenario like that when the Pirates finally bust through and you know, kick down the door.
Yeah, you never know exactly. So let's just get there and see what happens. And we put ourselves in a position where we can get there. That's the good news.
The thing now, obviously, we're, you know, we certainly feel confident that we can really compete with anybody around the country. But at the same time, you know, you want to play well enough down the stretch to put yourself in the best situation possible. That goes without saying. And if the Pirates are able to produce some of those numbers that we were talking about earlier, where, you know, you get up there 37, 38, 39 wins and get a two seed, then, you know, maybe you get a more favorable matchup in a regional than, you know, being sent to number one Tennessee, assuming
you can be the two seed at number one Tennessee versus the three seed somewhere else.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. Or you could be a lower two seed.
Yes.
So
I'd rather be a three seed out west somewhere than a two seed in Tennessee. Thank you.
Yeah. Their balls are unbelievable this year, obviously. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more briefly about them later on because I wanted to bring up unbelievable pitching rotation that they have. And they had a guy that on 33 fastballs thrown over the weekend in their series against Auburn, I think it was something ridiculous, like 28 out of those 33 fastballs thrown were 103 or higher.
Wow. They rhyme just like Nolan Ryan numbers. Yeah,
some absolute gas with that Tennessee ball pitching staff. And they're right there. I think they just hit 40 games, 40 wins, that is. I think they're maybe 40-5 or 40-4 now.
Go Big Orange, I guess. I mean, well, go Pirates, but. You know what I mean? Very successful there for Tennessee. And I always have a soft spot for Tennessee. You know that.
And Mark asked and said, by putting in all these pitchers during the game, is that going to help us down the road? We have a lot of guys getting time on the bump.
Potentially.
Yeah, I definitely think it. I definitely think it bodes well. You've seen the maturation of a guy like Treya Savage, you know, early in the season, and he's a guy that really struggled to find his command early on, but that's gotten better and better as the season has progressed. And he's a guy that, as I heard in an interview earlier today with Colby Bortles, who's our volunteer assistant, he was saying that, you know, Trey certainly doesn't, at this point, you know, seem like a freshman out there, seems much older. And, you know, he's up there 94, 95, and has some pretty good breaking ball. And, you know, he's pitched very well of late.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought, Bubba. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But yeah, just I think to continue to respond to Mark's question, I think the way guys have seen significant mound time, obviously you have the guys that we've relied on heavily, like a Carter Spivey,
Garrett. Oh yeah, Sutton. I'm sorry, Bubba. I'm sorry. Let me cut you up. That's what I wanted to comment on. Yeah, kind of what Bubba's saying. Once you get into postseason play, it gives you more options. And for guy, you know, if God forbid you get in a loser's bracket, but if you want to work your way out of a loser's bracket, you're going to have to pitch more arms than what you normally are accustomed to. And having to send a guy out there who hadn't been in very many games, probably in a good situation. So you get guys with more experience when they have to come in those situations inevitably in a conference tournament or a regional. They're prepared.
And also on the pitching front, obviously Jake Pouchmaner, he suffered a muscle injury. I believe it was with his triceps down at UCF. Missed his start at Tulane and also against Cincinnati this past weekend. But, you know, everything we've heard is that even though it's taken a little bit longer than anticipated, Jake Pouchmaner is certainly on track to return in the very near future. Hopefully that will be this weekend at Memphis.
Yeah, it'd be great if we get Jake back this weekend. But you want to have him back before the postseason. That way he can get some playing time before then. So, but the sooner the better. But don't rush him back.
Right, and kind of going back to this weekend's games, though, and the performance of Bryson Wohl, you know, we've talked about it, and we've certainly seen Bryson perform very well, maybe just at times, you know, lacking some consistency. But we've seen time and again what Bryson Wohl is capable of. But, you know, going into this year, we just wanted to see maybe a little more consistency, as I said, and we're certainly seeing that now. I mentioned the 11-game hitting streak he currently has, batting average of a little over 300, 303 to be exact. And Bryson was 7 out of 14 last week. And, you know, Bryson has seen his batting average rise 55 points over the last 3 weeks. He's hit 6 home runs during that time. I think he has 9 now for the season. And Bryson Wohl, not surprisingly, with that 7 out of 14 week, 2 home runs, a double, 4 RBIs. I think all 4 of those RBIs actually came in the series finale against Cincinnati. He also walked twice and was hit by a pitch. So he got on base 10 out of 17 times. So a tremendous week for Pirates center fielder. And congratulations to Bryson Wohl on once again being named our PGXGloves.com Player of the Week.
Yeah, congratulations.
But let's go back to the American scoreboard, and we've discussed a little about some of the league standings. Obviously, Pirates sweeping Cincinnati, having won 5 out of 6 now against the Bearcats this year, as the Bearcats were the Pirates' travel partner playing home-and-home three-game series with the Bearcats. But you had the huge series between UCF and Tulane taking place in Orlando. That was a series that I watched bits and pieces of each of those three games. UCF was victorious in games one and three to take that series over to Tulane. And obviously that was good news for the Pirates because Tulane had taken two out of three from East Carolina the previous weekend in New Orleans. And the Pirates holding the head-to-head tiebreaker against UCF after having swept the Knights in Orlando. So UCF is now 10-5 in the league. Tulane's 9-6. And like Kyle mentioned early on in the broadcast, Houston taking – I think they actually swept South Florida in Tampa. Two of those games were very lopsided, and then they won a close one in the opener before I think it was maybe 16-2 and 9-2 in the other two games. But the Bulls are really struggling, and with that sweep on the road of USF, Houston is now 10-5 in the league, and right there, just a game behind the Pirates in the standings, and that's setting up a huge series on the final week of the regular season when the Cougs come to Clark LeClaire.
Yeah, if both teams take care of business between now and then, that could be for the conference championship. So could be a really big series with Houston to close out the regular season.
Meanwhile, the only other series that took place last weekend that we have not referenced was between this week's opponent, the Memphis Tigers, and they hosted Wichita State there in Memphis, and the Shockers were able to snap their lengthy 11-game skid by taking two out of three from the Tigers.
There you go. Memphis is not playing good baseball. Hopefully they don't get it together this weekend and Pirates can go to Memphis and get a sweep.
Yeah, Memphis 20-21 and 5-10 in the American, and Darren Schoenrock's swan song, as he announced prior to the season, that this would be his final year there at Memphis. So will be interesting to see, you know, who the Tigers turn to lead that program into the future, because Coach Schoenrock had been there, I think, about two decades now.
You know, I'm gonna probably cover in Knoxville as an assistant if Memphis wants to spend any money on baseball. They're obviously going to have to pay whoever the top assistant is in Knoxville a good chunk of change. But that would probably be the first place I'd look if I'm Memphis. It just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they're certainly surrounded. I mean, I know this year that Ole Miss and Mississippi State are having down seasons, but, you know, when you think about Arkansas, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, if they're not going to hire a sitting head coach, which depending on, you know, which direction you're going to go and where you're trying to hire a head coach from, that's going to it may be hard to do unless you go to a drop down to a lower level or, you know, somebody.
Well, I think Memphis is in a big enough conference. It's got a big enough budget. Well, they could definitely – I mean, there's tons of
– Right.
You know, in college baseball, you know, your Campbell's or your Tennessee Tech's. I mean, there's tons of good coaches out there that Memphis could go get if they wanted a head coach.
And that's where I was going next. And when I say lower level, I mean, I didn't necessarily mean division, but, you know, a conference. Like you referenced, you referenced some of those programs around that have had success. And, you know, with the American, yes, this year it's down, being 10th in the RPI, but historically, you know, it's five. It's fifth, sixth, seventh in the conference RPI, and you are going to have two of those prestigious programs with UCF and Houston moving on. But yeah, Memphis, depending on what they're willing to spend, could make such a hire.
Yeah, if they wanted to, they could make a great hire. They got plenty of money if they want to put it into baseball. You know, obviously, you mentioned UCF and Houston moving on along with Cincinnati. I actually think our baseball, and only in baseball, is the American Conference going to be just as good, if not better, as it was. You know, Rice is down right now, but it's still one of the most, you know, historically successful programs in baseball. You got Rice coming in. Charlotte has been good recently in baseball. And Florida Atlantic's got a good baseball program. And I believe this year, UTSA is pretty good. I think baseball-wise, the American is going to be just as good going forward, if not a little better.
Yeah, this weekend, during the Cincinnati series, I saw some interesting comments on social media that I wanted to point out. You saw, you know, Cincinnati's, I believe, it's their left fielder, Cole Harding. And he said, "You guys were awesome and gave me someone to talk to out there. Thanks for not heckling me too bad." That was in response to Pirate fan Misty Grover on Twitter saying, "We always have so much fun in the jungle, but guys like you are what make a weekend even better. You know, so much fun with you this weekend. We also met several parents that came out. Hope to see them again. Good luck to you guys the rest of the season." And then you also had Cincinnati's director of baseball operations, Andy Nagel, saying, "Not the results the Bearcats wanted, but have never met so many good people like y'all on the road. Thank you for the hospitality. I wish you the best. Hopefully, Go Bearcats base can take a cue from the jungle and maybe create the Bearcats lair on Sheikley Lawn in left field in Cincinnati." And then in addition to that, you also had Jake Kuchmaner and Lane Hoover receiving awards over the weekend at the 2022 Breakfast of Champions. Cooch was the recipient of the Walter and Marie Williams Spirit of the East Scholarship, while Lane Hoover was the recipient of the Pat Drawn Postgrad Scholarship. So congratulations to Jake Kuchmaner and Lane Hoover on receiving those scholarships.
Do we know what they had at Breakfast of Champions?
No clue.
So it wasn't Wheaties?
Yeah, I'm sure. I had a feeling that might be where you were going with that, but
you better eat your Wheaties.
But like I mentioned earlier, around college baseball, some very interesting series last weekend. Auburn is having a very good year, the best year they've had in quite some time, and they went into Knoxville and after, I think, giving up, I think it was 17 runs in the series opener, they were able to bounce back and defeat the Vols in game two of that series. But there, as you see on the screen, that's what Ben Joyce, he threw 28 fastballs of his 33, 103 miles per hour or faster, and 15 of those were 104 faster. Three were at least 105, just unbelievable.
I got an interesting question for you, Bubba. Do you think going forward at some point there's going to be a first-round draft pick out of high school that a SEC school that loves baseball is going to match that signing bonus with the NIL deal to get them to come play baseball for them for at least 2 years instead?
It's funny you bring that up because not necessarily with baseball, but I've heard other podcasts where they're talking about that NIL topic and just saying with some of these ridiculous numbers that have been thrown out to high school kids, as well as guys who've actually already proven it on the college level, it'll be very interesting to see if you see guys and football, men's basketball, or like you mentioned, baseball, opt to stay in college because they're making more money and have a better situation than they would if they went on to the pros.
We are stepping into an interesting situation going forward with college sports, and I really believe that there's going to be a true separation coming, and I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be group of five, power five. I think there's going to be some group of fives, maybe that you end up at the power five and some power fives that are going to end up at the so-called group of five. I think there's going to be a divide coming. It's it's just going to keep as monies keep flowing. There's going to be certain schools that have it and certain schools that don't, that have alums that are willing to spend it for NIL deals. And you take, you know, I look at, you talk about some of the schools that ain't considered Power Five now. You take some of these big state schools, or places where a lot of money are, like San Diego, San Diego State, for example, or Colorado State, which is one of two state universities that play Division I sports in that state. And they got a lot of alum now with money that are going to start spending it. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think you're going to see some programs rise up that haven't been to those levels before. And then the continued, and I'm talking football, the continued perennial powers, Alabama, you know, et cetera. Obviously, they got the money embedded, and they're just going to keep spending it. And I think it's going to be interesting times over the next 10 years in college athletics.
Yeah, the podcast I was listening to was actually a Florida Gators focused show, but much like our show, they talk other topics as well. And you know, his former Florida quarterback Shane Matthews, and a former Florida beat writer who's now a, you know, financial planner and so forth there in the Gainesville area, but still very in tune with what's going on with that Florida program. And he's actually an Alabama alum. And Shane Matthews, when they were discussing NIL, Johnny Cornell, the Alabama alums, he's just talking about how, you know, he was Shane is basically saying that, yeah, you may feel this way now, but, you know, let's say USC has some big movie producer or whatever, yeah, you know, decide to throw millions at Alabama's sitting quarterback and try to lure him to Hollywood. And so he said, I bet you'll change your mind then, and you know, the Crimson Tide fans will really be in up in arms, so to speak.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting how this all plays out. It really is. And I hope that East Carolina's being creative when reaching out to people about NIL deals. I'd be talking to WWE. I don't know if Vince gives a crap, but you know, you can tell, and Vince loves, this is how I throw it to Vince. I say, Vince, this is for the first time ever. You love to be number one. You love to have the best everything. You could buy East Carolina the best football program in America right now by offering our players more money for an NIL deal than anybody else. So I'd throw it at Vince. Vince might be about that. He having the best football, him, WWE athletes are the best college athletes in America.
Absolutely. Whatever angle you need to attack it from, it's worth a shot.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, you tell Vince, you want to be, you want an XFL, you always want to be number one. You right now could make East Carolina the number one football program in America. You could do it. Yeah, you know, all our success would be because of you and the NIL deals. You can't do that at Alabama or Clemson or Notre Dame. They're already established. But you come to your alma mater, and now you sign in. You could imagine if you signed at East Carolina as a football player, and you're guaranteed $100,000 a year NIL deal with Vince McMahon and the World Wrestling Entertainment. Or just certain players you offer that kind of money to or more.
Go Pirates, go.
Yeah, you're a WWE athlete.
But, yeah, it will certainly be very interesting to see where this goes, because there's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube. It's only going to get crazier as we go on.
Yeah, you know, I you say there's no putting it in toothpaste back in the tube. There may be. You could put restrictions on it. I don't know how that would go over. But it's the Wild West out there right now. And basically, it's what schools are being put on probation for years.
Yep. You saw where Pat Narduzzi
there at Pittsburgh. And, you know, his highlight, I don't remember the young man's name, but the Biletnikoff Award winner, played for Pittsburgh last year in USC, and he was upset with Lincoln Riley. I'm trying to remember what they offered him. I don't know if it's $3.5-4 million, as well as a house, or maybe that was part of that.
Well, how could he turn that down?
Right.
Did he?
I don't believe so, but I'm not sure if he accepted it or if he's still, you know. If no decision has been announced, but I would be very surprised if he turned it down. That's for sure.
I mean, unless somebody in Pittsburgh can counter that offer.
Yeah, cannot imagine that being turned down. But Mark Calloway said, "Look at Miami on NIL," and. Mark, let us know if there's something specific you were referencing. I did see where Miami basketball player, his agent, came out saying that if his NIL compensation, if his package was not sweetened to the level that they thought was fair, in pretty quick fashion, that he would be entering the transfer portal.
Yeah, it's just nuts. It's nuts. And we're not going to be able to compete. It's going to get, you know, we'll see how it goes and who we're trying to compete with. You know, I don't know how North Carolina State, how involved they are with the NIL stuff yet. But, you know, it's going to get to the point where there is going to be distinct division. There is a break coming in college football. There's no doubt.
And, yes, Mark was referencing Isaiah Wong electing, or at that point, you know, saying that his future with Miami was in jeopardy depending on his NIL situation. But Mark said that he will stay with Hurricanes, pursue more NIL deals after threatening to transfer.
Wow.
But
what was his name again?
Isaiah Wong.
Somebody should ask him.
W-O-N-G.
Somebody should ask him something Wong.
But, yeah, that wasn't surprising after, you know, seeing the young man attempting to cash in after everything that Miami was able to achieve this year, making it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
But and then he says, "said billionaire Ruiz is finding him more money."
Wow.
So, yeah, Miami is certainly one of those situations where you would think that, you know, with that market and everything that city has to offer, that they have a lot of appeal with the various NIL packages they can produce for recruits.
Yeah, no doubt.
But much like USC and Lincoln Riley and everything that they have to offer with LA.
Yeah, no, and it makes, like I said, we better be looking outside of Greenville and Eastern North Carolina. We better be, like I said, talking to WWE and all kinds of other people about NIL deals.
But a couple other things before we wrap this show up and get out of here. East Carolina season tickets. I spoke with the ticket office this afternoon, that being Monday, May the 2nd. And we're right around 13,500 or just over 13,500 season tickets sold in 2021. I think that final number was right around 14,100. So we're approximately 600 tickets or so away from last year's total. So, of course, our goal here is we set the bar a little higher. John Gilbert and Ryan Robinson, the goal they're shooting for is 15,000. So that would be right around an increase of 1,000, just shy of 1,000 from a season ago, based on what we recall, what was reported about the numbers. But hopefully we can get it up more like 17,000, 18,000.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I think a minimum 16,000, anything less than that would be disappointing. But, yeah, shooting for 18,000 is – my dogs are wanting to play and make a lot of noise. Shooting for 18,000 is a lofty goal, but that's what you shoot for. I mean, why put your goal low? Make a high. And, we had an interesting discussion, Bubba, and I know we're trying to wrap this thing up, but I'd love to know how many season ticket holders are under 50 and how many season ticket holders are under 40. I think when you get to the under 40 number, I think the numbers would be alarming.
I agree. I've heard that sentiment not only from yourself, but that's something I had noticed. And, it was not only from people in our age bracket, for full disclosure, Kyle and I are right there at 40 years old. But I've had this conversation with Pirates who are in those, 55, 60 and up. And they're very concerned about the future because they are not seeing the Pirate Club donors and season ticket holders under the age of 40, like Kyle just referenced. But, if you have not ordered your season tickets yet, call 1-800-ECU or go online to ecupirates.com and do so. I did hear that out of the season ticket buyers from last year, about 80 to 85% have renewed. So that's good. And hopefully we'll get to the point where essentially everyone will have renewed here in the coming weeks and months between now and September 3rd. Also, go ahead and call 252-737-4540. And that is, of course, the number for the ECU Pirate Club. And rejoin the Pirate Club as we need to get those numbers back up, 7,000-8,000 where they've been in the past as they sunk down to below 5,000 in recent years. But, Dave or Kyle do not have anything else. We'll go ahead and wrap up this edition of Extra Innings. We appreciate everyone tuning in, whether it was right now live on YouTube or Facebook, archived on either one of those platforms, or pretty much anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can find us. But for Dave Richmond and Kyle Barber, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to Extra Innings on the Sports Objective. Have a great week, everyone. And as always, go Pirates.